St. Paul told us creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God. For creation was made subject to futility in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. We also groan as we wait for adoption. Beautiful words, somewhat cryptic. We'd like to spend a few minutes to try to break them open and understand what St. Paul is talking about. My friends, the claims of our Christian faith are truly extraordinary. Among them, that God exists, that His very nature is love, that human beings, you and I, have been made in God's very image and likeness. We believe that although that likeness has been marred because of sin, God still chose to send His only Son to die for us, to save us, and to restore us to right relationship with Him. And we believe that even in the midst of our fallen world, we can live, you and I, in the glorious freedom of those who call themselves God's children. Because God gives us the gift of His own divine life, which can be ours, which we can possess. Aren't these all extraordinary claims? Who wouldn't be attracted to at least hoping that they might be true? I mean, we all know and have experienced the reality of sin in the world, so that's not a question. The question is, what has God done? What has been God's response? Isn't it attractive to at least hope that they could be true? Well, St. Paul says that all of creation is awaiting with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God. In other words, the world, by which I mean not the kingdom of God, that which is not yet subjected to God's kingdom, it's watching Christians, it's questioning. You say these things, you make these claims. Can they be true? All of creation is awaiting with expectation for the children of God to reveal who they really are. Well, what does the world see when it looks at us as Christians? I think Jesus' parable gives us great insights to what the world sees. It's a parable about the seed of the Word, which is the saving gospel message that has been spread. And that seed has fallen in different kinds of soil. It's fallen on the path. There are those who lack understanding, whose spiritual senses are closed to even receiving this Word. It's fallen upon the rocks, the places where there are, the seed cannot put down its roots because the soil is too shallow. And when trial and tribulation and persecution comes, this plant dries up and dies. The seed's fallen among thorns. Those who allow the anxieties of the world, worldly things, the allure of riches, to compete with the Word and to choke it out from their lives. And that seed has fallen on good soil, where its roots can be deep and it's not in competition with other goods, and it can grow and thrive and bear fruit. Quick question for you. Is this parable of Jesus describing Christians, or is it describing everyone? I don't know the answer to that question, but in the context of the gospel, Jesus has not yet spent significant time ministering outside of Israel. the context of Matthew's gospel. So it seems to me that this parable is addressed to those who have already heard the word, those who are inside the house of Israel. And so by extension, as the new Israel and the church, I think this parable is addressed more to us than it is to the whole world. And isn't it true that those who claim to be Christians could be described in any of these four categories? Creation is still waiting, awaiting the revelation of the children of God. So the question for us is, are we living in such a way that makes others see that the hope that we have is founded and reasonable and real? In other words, are we bearing fruit? Fruit that's obvious for others to be able to see and desire, and that will attract them to the faith. St. Paul goes on to say that creation was made subject to futility in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. What does he mean by this? Creation is subject to futility. To me, it seems to mean that God has allowed all of creation to have this particular characteristic that it's all breaking down. It's something that is prone to disintegrate and to disillusion us. The fire department came here 3 times this week because one of the brand new sensors in our air ducts was telling it that there was smoke, right? There was no smoke. There was no fire. It's brand new. It's already breaking down, okay? Everything that we experience in this creation is subject to futility. As much as we might strive to grasp and hold on to these things, to power and pleasure and money, prestige, it's never enough, and we're always at risk of losing it. Why did God make creation like this? And why, even though we are disillusioned over and over again by these things of creation, does our desire continue to well up? Well, it seems when St. Paul says that creation is subject to futility in hope that it might be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious children of God, that we see in this infinite desire that we have something that orients us towards what is transcendent. The fact that creation itself is subject to futility, and yet we still long for more and more, helps us realize that perhaps there is something more. Perhaps there is a highest good that transcends all of these things that are passing away, built into our hearts. Behind all of these desires for the things of creation is our desire for God. And once we realize that, then, only then, are we able to leave all this behind and break out of that slavery, St. Paul calls it, that slavery to corruption, to strive to live in the glorious freedom of the children of God. And he said, you and I, our hearts are groaning within us as we wait for this adoption, as we wait to be chosen and taken in by God to belong to Him. And that adoption as God's beloved children is that rootedness that will allow us to thrive, to live in freedom, and to bear fruit. And you know, at Holy Baptism, you were adopted. You were chosen by God. And you became His beloved son or daughter. At baptism, the seed of faith was sown in your heart. And there is nothing to prevent it from growing and bearing great fruit if we decide that we are going to live out of that identity as His beloved children. Jesus' parable today was about the kind of soil that our hearts are or can be. We also heard from the prophet Isaiah about the rain, which comes down from the heavens and doesn't return there until it has achieved its end, until it has fulfilled its purpose, doing the will of God. We just had a drought here, which, thanks be to God, we've had rain in the last few weeks, but we know how important that rain is. And if someone had their garden and they decided at the end of June that they were just going to put a tarp up over their garden to make sure that the rain doesn't get to it, we would have thought they were crazy. Well, don't we do that? With the grace of God, the rain that He wants to send to penetrate our hearts, don't we often block it from achieving its end, from fulfilling its purpose? By the simple fact that we have never decided in our heart of hearts that I want to do God's will first and above all things, that that is my only desire. Until we've made that choice, so often we're blocking His grace, the rain that comes from His hand, from penetrating our hearts. Let's not do that anymore. Let's decide today that God's will be my will. That what He desires will be what I desire. That what He wants is what I want. Let this grace fall upon you and penetrate your heart so that you might put down these roots and grow and bear fruit for His kingdom. All of creation is awaiting this revelation of the children of God. All of creation is looking to us as Christians to find out whether all of these extraordinary claims of our faith could possibly be true. Someone out there is depending on you to say yes to God, for them to be able to have their hearts open to God's goodness and grace in their own lives. All of creation is eagerly awaiting what God has planted in our hearts to be revealed by the way that we live.